a major decision concerning U.S. military forces in Afghanistan. That's our first topic today on CNN 10. I'm Carl Azus. Thank you for watching. On Wednesday, U.S. President Joe Biden announced that American combat troops would leave Afghanistan by September 11th of this year. That will be the 20th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks on the U.S., which were carried out by a group that was allowed to live and train in Afghanistan. That's why, in 2001, the U.S. led an international alliance of countries to knock Afghanistan's former rulers out of power. Afghanistan's first democratically elected leader took office in 2004, but instability remained, and the conflict in Afghanistan became the longest-running war America has been involved in. President Biden says it's time to end it and bring U.S. troops home. And as of this January, there were 2,500 American service members in Afghanistan, according to the Defense Department. And while the Biden administration says they'll be withdrawn by September, some U.S. troops will remain in the country to protect American interests. Officials didn't say how many. The decision to remove the others is both complicated and controversial. For one thing, the Taliban, Afghanistan's former rulers who harbored terrorists, they're still a powerful force in the country. The U.S. intelligence community doesn't think a peace deal is likely between the Taliban and the Afghan government. And if American troops leave, some military officials are concerned that the government will collapse. That could threaten security, democracy, and women's rights in Afghanistan. Like former President Barack Obama and former President Donald Trump, President Biden promised to end American involvement in Afghanistan. In Congress, there's bipartisan support for doing this, with advocates saying it would be a historic achievement. There's also bipartisan opposition, with critics saying it'll result in an Afghan civil war. A member of the Biden administration who's been involved in the decision says it's not based on conditions in Afghanistan. President Biden reportedly thinks conditions there could keep American troops in the country indefinitely. Analysts say he wants to focus more on foreign policy concerning China and Russia.
Believe that this golden lost city is the most important discovery after the discovery of the tomb of Tutankhamun.
نحن ظهرت معانا أول مباني من الحيط فنزلنا موقع ورا موقع، أوضة ورا أوضة، فلقينا موميا ولقينا خواتم ولقينا فخار، أكثر كمية فخار لقيناها هنا في المدينة دي. فيش في مصر، في عالم في مصر كله ما لقيناش فخار قد اللي لقيناه.
Trivia. What country's national emblem features four lions? Bangladesh, Tanzania, India, or Nigeria? India, a nation of 1.3 billion people, is the answer. The last remaining population of Asiatic lions can be found only in India, though according to National Geographic, Africa is where you'll find almost all the other wild lions in the world. Some people travel thousands of miles to see lions, tigers, and elephants in their native habitats. But for those who live near them, the animals can be a nuisance, a threat to livelihoods, or a constant danger. We featured a report a couple of years ago that explored how elephants in the African nation of Botswana were responsible for scores of human deaths every year. In India, a nation of extraordinary diversity when it comes to wildlife, there's a conservationist who's working to help people and animals live safely side by side.
People who live in cities tend to romanticize living alongside big animals like tigers and elephants, but the reality is very, very different.
For these farmers, life on the edge of India's national parks is a fight for survival.
You live in constant fear of your crops being destroyed, your livestock being killed, and occasionally even being injured due to confrontations with wildlife. It is not an easy life.
On average, one person or more is killed by a wild animal every day in India, according to the Environment Ministry.
India is a high wildlife, high conflict country. One of the biggest challenges is the fact that we have less than 5% of land set aside for wildlife, and there are millions of people who live adjacent to our protected areas or inside. Every time your crops are destroyed, you're pushed further into poverty. It becomes harder for your family to survive that year. We absolutely have to figure out ways that people and wildlife can coexist.
Conservation scientist Krithi Karanth has spent 15 years studying human-wildlife conflict in India, looking for ways to lessen the impact on rural communities.
They shouted, "A tiger has attacked your bull in the field. Come quickly." When we got here, we cried in despair. We earned our living with those two bulls.
While the government offers compensation for losses, like damage to this borewell by elephants, Karen says it remains out of reach for many.
The process to get compensation can be bureaucratic, slow, and frustrating, which is why most people don't file for compensation today.
She started the Wild Seve program in 2015 to help communities overcome those hurdles. Farmers call a toll-free number, and Karen says Wild Seve staff respond within 48 hours, assessing the damage and helping them submit the documentation needed to make a claim.
We've submitted almost 18,000 claims. People have received almost $800,000 in compensation from the government.
Her work also helps protect animals from those pushed to the limit.
We've had families who've called us 50, 60 times, and they rarely retaliate. They retaliate when a sense of frustration builds and they don't get the help they need in time.
Finding new ways for people and wildlife to coexist has become more urgent in the face of a global pandemic. Last year, Karanth and her team started teaching communities how to protect themselves from zoonotic disease.
I think the pandemic is a deep wake-up call for every human on the planet. It shows that you can't endlessly tinker with nature. We need to do more to save wildlife and wild places.
Karen's passion for wildlife began at a young age.
I had the most amazing childhood. My dad is a tiger conservationist and biologist, so I had seen my first tiger and leopard by the time I was 2 years old.
She hopes to share that passion with the next generation through her education program, which she says has reached over 20,000 children.
To me, they are the stewards of the environment. If we don't get them to understand the value of this, we're going to lose the wildlife. I have two daughters. What I hope I can do is move the needle a little bit in how people and wildlife learn to coexist. I hope to leave a better planet than I inherited for my father to my children.
If you happen to live near a certain pizza restaurant in Houston, Texas, and you really would prefer a robot to deliver your pizza, well, one Domino's may have exactly what you're looking for. It's working with a robot company called Nuro to get the pies from the store to your driveway. There'll be no delivery person to actually knock on your door. Still, customers can keep track of their pizzas through text alerts and real-time GPS monitoring, so there'll be less suspense about where exactly your order is. Will this soon be part of the pizza process in neighborhoods worldwide? Some experts are concerned this may not work in places with heavy or fast traffic, but it's another new way in which companies are experimenting with employing robots that go that last mile in delivery. But is there a pepperoni dough? Some might appreciate the extra anchovisibility. They never saw such a deliverer before. But if the robot's slower than a car, the idea might seem cheesy or half-baked. You're not exactly comparing pineapples to apples, and it doesn't leave mushroom for error. Hey! There is one way to get a shout-out on CNN 10. You subscribe and leave a comment on our most recent show at youtube.com/CNN10. Bay High School did it! Hello to our viewers in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Carl Azuz.